Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. We made it to Friday, Friday the 13th, here in the middle of April. Glad you're with us on A Penny for Your Thoughts. We'll take A Penny for Your Thoughts today on a variety of topics. We're going to jump back into the Unit 4 discussion. They had the big public hearing the other night in regards to the charter school proposal. We're going to jump back into that here in a few minutes with Chris Kleppel. He's the president of the Unit 4 school board. Just get his thoughts on what the timeline is here, what he's wanting to get back. They've extended the deadline for the information from the charter school proponents. It was going to be, I think, originally noon today. It's been pushed back to Wednesday, according to the News Gazette reporting today. And as they were informed, at least the NCA was, by the superintendent, Dr. Susan Zola. So we will get into that a little bit, just the timing of what's left, what happens next. Also want to visit with you a little bit this morning, again, on Paul Ryan and not running for re-election. We can get into that. But the big news in Washington today, I get Comey book, which is the excerpts have been released, as is usually the case, right before the weekend. And then they'll spend all Sunday, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, basically chewing over the contents. And depending on who you ask, and I've got a couple of different articles on it, one saying this is a very informative, very persuasive book and right on target. And you read another article, another columnist, or another story on it, and they say this is all just a bunch of nonsense that Comey's writing, and he's in it for himself and for glory for himself and all of that. So I don't know what you think about it. If you've seen the excerpts, if you want to share your thoughts today here on A Penny for Your Thoughts, we'll certainly do that. Also, Rush Record from CASA for a few minutes in the second hour, and then open lines the rest of the way as well. So we'll sprinkle in the open lines, conversation about Unit 4, conversation about the Comey book. We can do all of that here in the next couple of hours here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. We'll get to your emails, your phone calls, your texts. Chris Kleppel is next. We'll visit with him for a few minutes. And then, of course, we'll always, as always throughout the show, you can always text us, email us, and call us at any time during the 2 hours. Back with more on a Friday, the 13th, after this. All right, 356-9397. We're with you on Penny for Your Thoughts here today. Voting continues. The News Talk 1400 DWS News Gazette Media is the people's choice, the best of East Central Illinois. Go to WDWS.com and cast your vote. People's Choice brought to you in part by Wallace Land and Auction. And if you're looking to get a house and you don't know how much of a house you can get, how big or how small, you don't know what you might be pre-approved for, today on this Friday, we finally have some decent weather, so a great time to go out and look at homes, and maybe you don't know what you're pre-approved for. Well, Steve and Pam Starwell can help with that because they can send you to Damian Spencer at Fisher National Bank at 1710 South Neal. They've been working with together, Steve and Pam have, with Damian for 10 years. Damian's been in the mortgage lending business for over 20. So just give them a call, Steve and Pam at 239-7156. That's 217 area code, but you can Google Starwald, find out the information you need. And today you can find out how much you would be pre-approved for, what you're eligible for. You can get that information today. And so when you go to the open houses that are, what, open generally 2 to 4 during the weekends, you'll know what you can afford and what you can do in that regard. So maybe you're downsizing, maybe you're upsizing, transitioning from one home to another. Let Steve and Pam Starwald direct you to Damian Spencer, Fisher National Bank, 1710 South Neal, and they're one of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Brian Barnhart with you this morning, 356-9397. Castle text line 351-5357, and you can email us at talk at WDWS.com. Just keep those coming during the two-hour show here, and we'll get them all in as we move along. We're at 912. Chris Kleppel joins us here this morning from the Champaign Unit 4 School Board. He's the president of the school board. Chris, how are you?
Pretty good, Brian. Thanks good. For having me on. I think this is our first time together in this space, so yeah. Happy to be here. Thanks
great,
for having me.
Great to have you here. And it's been a busy week.
It has. It's been a pretty busy week, and so happy here to talk, be here and talk about it.
I guess some of the news today is, and of course, talking about the charter school proponents. There was a public hearing. Was it Tuesday? Monday night.
Yep, we had a public hearing Monday night. We were able to wrap up our business portion of the meeting. Actually, did it very quickly. We got it done by about 5:50, and we actually kind of milled around and talked to, with the audience members, used the bathroom real quick, and got started right around 6 o'clock there with that public hearing. Actually, I'd like to take this opportunity to kind of discuss what that actually was. With the having received the proposal for a charter school, kind of triggered some things. And so within 45 days, the district and the Board of Education was required to have a public hearing. And so that's what we did on Monday, and probably did a bad job of kind of explaining that, not only to the audience, but the community about exactly in that space. And so we were having a public hearing, and it was really an opportunity for all sides to kind of submit not only the proposal from the NCA for them to submit and present on that, an opportunity for the district, for the administration and the staff to kind of respond to that, the board to ask questions for it. And it really is submitting information and testimony and questions that each and every side has on things, and along with the public comment on it, to be reviewed. No matter the outcome of the board's decision, whether it's to approve or deny the application for the charter school, it will go on, that decision will go on to a higher body. If it's approved, it'll go before the Illinois State Board of Education for them to weigh whether it passes merit, if you will. And if it's denied, it'll go before a commission. It has an opportunity to go before a commission where they could potentially overrule that decision. So Monday night's hearing was an opportunity for all sides to submit that. And so the board did have a lengthy list of questions. And but the opportunity for the NCA to answer some of those questions at the meeting, but also given a opportunity to answer those that they weren't able to answer in that space. And so we've actually extended that deadline Wednesday. We're looking for those responses now by Wednesday of next week. And then that really then triggers an opportunity for the staff to review it. The board will review those questions. We're going to meet again. We have a regularly scheduled special meeting on April 23rd. The board and exec session, which we're allowed to do under state law, will be able to review some of that evidence and testimony even further, discuss it as a board. We'll be able to, we'll kind of really be able to start focusing our decision at that point. And then we have scheduled a special meeting, a true special meeting, on Wednesday, May 2nd, to give our ruling. And that's really where we'll sit. We'll give our reasoning whichever way we're going to go on that ruling. And then we'll read the testimony that we'll be basically sending forward to the state level, again, regardless of the decision, and having discussion around that in kind of an open manner in session.
I forget the number of questions. There was a lot of questions.
It was 100-plus questions when it came to 116, I believe. Yep.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this was the first time this group submitting an application of this sort, and certainly this board's first time having received an application of this sort, but just really a need for all sides to get that. And so we did have a lot of questions. Some of them were technical, some of them were a little deeper than that, but and then them having the opportunity with the days following to get some of those responses back to us. So we'll certainly be able to take those responses and add them to our decision-making process.
Because in the overall time frame of this, you had to be done by a certain point, right? The number of days?
Yep. So we had 45 days to hold the hearing, and so we were inside of that, obviously. And then we have 30 days to make the decision from the day of that hearing. And so when you take into account that they're going to have a little over a week now to submit those questions back, so that's eaten into those days. As a board, we only meet so often. We've got several board members that travel for work, and so an opportunity for us to meet on the 23rd and kind of have a deeper conversation, having had the NCA's opportunity to submit answers to our questions, have the staff review those answers even further, and then, again, finding that date, the Wednesday the 2nd, the reason it's there is quite literally that's the day that we all could, our calendars lined up and we were able to, because especially at that meeting, we feel it's really important that if all seven of us can be together to not only give our decision on it, but also to then have any conversation that we need to have around it. I don't think anyone anywhere denies that not only Champaign Unit 4, but certainly here in Champaign Unit 4, we have a achievement gap, particularly with our African-American students. And I think this is, at the very least, brought it forward in the conversation and allowing us to have that conversation out in the open. And I think it's important that we do that.
Chris Kleppel, the president of the Unit 4 School Board, with us here for a few minutes talking about the charter school. Had the public hearing earlier this week. He's given us some dates and meeting times and all of that. And I think we can say at the top, obviously, that everybody wants the kids to achieve and learn well. So we're kind of all in the same, have the same end goal in mind as far as the two sides, the charter school and what the school district wants to do. And I guess some of this, I know Dr. Zola's talked a little bit about in writing and some other ways about the achievement test change and all the different. Is that part of the equation in comparing scores and all of that, is why this group's very passionate about wanting it, right?
I think... yes, I think that certainly plays into that conversation. I think looking at the data, whether you're looking at the old test scores or the new test scores, I think no matter how you look at it, it shows an achievement gap, mm-hmm. and it shows that we're struggling in that area, along with our surrounding neighbors, along with the state of Illinois, along with the country. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a group of people coming forward with an idea, a want. I think in that room, that very full
board
room,
right?
There was a lot of passion. I think, mm-hmm. I think you would have a hard time arguing that everybody in there wouldn't want that achievement gap to be closed. And mm-hmm. and so, and then just using it as an opportunity to discuss and bring ideas forward and conversations. But it, at the very least, it brought it kind of forward, where right now Unit 4 is talking about this. I'm here on the radio show talking mm-hmm. to you about it. And so bringing everybody together and talking about it, and is this charter school the option? Mm-hmm. The board's certainly going to weigh that. Really what we're weighing is, does it meet the state law? Is it going to serve students? Is it mm-hmm. going to do what it is? That's what we're tasked with doing. I think regardless if the charter school is formed or not, Unit 4 is still going to be serving these students that are we're still going to have that group of students along with all the other students that are struggling to mm-hmm. achieve. And so Unit 4 at the same time is going to have to be taking care of those students as well.
All right. You got time for a call?
Sure. Let's take a call.
Do one here real quick.
My first call.
Yes. Anna Wall, how are you? You may need those headphones there.
Good morning.
Hey.
And I'm calling because this particular program activated my memory for something that happened last year, which is highly related to this issue. Excuse me just a minute.
Okay. Got to sneeze.
what I have reference to is a friend of mine visited me last year, and was telling me about some problems that she had had, the family had had with their little grandson. And she was, of course, an Afro-American. And she said that he was so happy when school started to get to go to school. But the first day when he went to school, the teacher was making a little pep talk as usual, asking the kids, did they have any idea about why it was necessary to go to school and get an education. Well, I'm going to call the little boy Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Said when they got around to Jimmy, he proudly stood up and said, I'm here because to be somebody. The kids laughed. The teacher responded, but you're already a person, don't you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the grandma was upset because the kid came home and wasn't happy at all about his school experiences because they thought he would be, you know, he wanted to go to school. Finally, he told them what happened. Well, she knew me, and that's why she came and told me about it.
Mm.
Well, there wasn't anything I could do about it.
Yeah.
My point is that you need to have teachers who are not oblivious to cultural differences. Mm-hmm. When I was being raised up in the South, my illiterate grandma would tell me, get in there and study your lesson so you can be somebody. That is just part of our vocabulary.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the teachers today are so culturally different, and I won't put it on race, I'll just say culture, but they're totally oblivious to these differences. So I would suggest that the community, the school board, now pay more attention to these cultural differences. Now, I'm not here to advocate charter schools or anything, but just to share with you what happens because of the cultural differences.
Okay.
And this should be taken into consideration.
All right. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Anna Wall. Let's see here. A text here says, with the NCA, I felt the school board grilled them unfairly, which the school board and the schools doesn't fulfill itself. I don't know what that means. They should have prepared them these many questions way in advance. Thanks, Dr. Young. Part of this had to do with the nature of the public hearing. Is that why the questions came out when they did, or could you have let them know in advance, or how would that have worked, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's – I've kind of used the – I work at the university, and to get on at the university, I had to go test to take the test, and I actually went back and took the test a second time and a third time, and each time I was improving my score. I never got those test questions in advance. I can certainly understand where I was actually having a conversation with my dad. My dad asked me the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Could you have given them the questions in advance? Certainly we could have done that. I don't know. I don't think legally there would have been a reason that we couldn't, but I don't think there's anything that said we had to either. And I did make the reference in the meeting that the questions were strictly taken from the law of the charter school law. And mm-hmm. so the questions were already there. And so it was, some of them were clarifying questions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I certainly understand that was part of it. And I think that's where trying to clarify that this was a public hearing, and the purpose of that really was to for all sides to submit their questions to it. And so mm-hmm. you wouldn't get the questions to a job interview before your job interview, at least the bulk of them. And mm-hmm. so that it wasn't our responsibility to give those, but I can certainly see why there was a frustration that could we have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I'm not aware of a legal reason why we couldn't have, but it wasn't something we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it I can say that it's not something that is typically done when this is done. So
okay.
we certainly had legal representation with us through this process, and it's not something mm-hmm. that's typically done.
I know you got to get to work here soon, so I don't want to hold
no,
you up
fine.
Real long here. But it says here, a couple of texts. He clarified. He said the school district's not fulfilling all those requirements themselves. It was not fair on behalf of the school board to grill them like that, I guess is what Dr. Young was trying to say. Regarding Unit 4's charter school, unless kids have home support with their families, it's harder to be successful in public school. I'm a Unit 4 parent since 2010 and volunteer. Seeing this reality is hard. So a lot, and again, all of this we know starts at home. You know, by the time they show up in school, school can help them learn things, but a lot of the issue starts at home, right?
Yeah, I think it certainly does. You hear that 50% of a child's knowledge that they're going to have is developed by the time they're five, and so. But I think the stark reality is that we do kind of what Anna Wall was saying. We culturally we're different within throughout the community, and then just looking at experiences and opportunities that the community has, it's different. And so, you know, once they get to that schooling age, if you will, we have a responsibility to teach and educate and work with them and adapt with them. As a parent with two students that struggle with reading themselves, looking to the school as part of that solution to get them to where they need to be to fulfill their full potential. And so, But I certainly think it's something that the community can be involved in and the families can be involved in. And I think that's what we're all looking for, is how we can all be part of the solution and work through that.
All right, we got to let him go here in a minute. Text in, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. He says, you can't tell me Unit 4 will allow a charter school. That was on the text line. Let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, first of all, the concept's good, and I think it's a good idea, but when you have a school that excludes, you know, all races of people except black kids, wouldn't you being built on the taxpayer's dime, be violating the federal discrimination laws of the United States of America and, you know, state laws, too, I'm sure, against discrimination?
Okay. We'll let him answer that. Thanks, Tom.
So that was certainly one of our questions, was clarifying the applications. And NCA was very straightforward in that anyone would be welcome to apply to this school. So I certainly think if what you were referencing would be of concern, but NCA assures us that anyone would be welcome to apply to their charter school. And so that was one of the questions we had, and they were, that was a question that we felt they appropriately answered, obviously. So,
well, Chris, I got to let you go. I appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, certainly.
And, it's a big issue in town.
Yep, and it's certainly an ongoing conversation, and it certainly won't be over on the 2nd and won't be over on the 23rd. And so it's something that I think we're going to be tackling for some time, and not only as a district but a state and country. So.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Brian.
Chris Kleppel, the president of Unit 4 School Board, and we'll come back with news headlines after this on Penny.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
All right, nice and sunny out there, and we're at 64 degrees already. Step out on your porch and just open your arms and enjoy the warm weather. Wow, does it feel nice outside. First day in months I haven't worn a coat of any kind to work. So that ought to tell you something right there. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line. I mentioned at the start of the show, it'd be talking a little bit and getting your thoughts on the James Comey book. Obviously, the excerpts are out. I think is the book itself out next week, I guess. They always release excerpts of it, and then they... And here's a couple of headlines. I mean, this is going to fall along the political divide, but New York Times says James Comey has a story to tell. It's very persuasive. And then if you go to a different article, it says, Comey book filled with unproven attacks on Trump, lofty praise for himself. So those are going to be the two sides right there. You've got one end of the spectrum and the other. And we'll get into some of what was written about the book itself, or the excerpts. We already have some texts in. Drain the swamp, David says, a joke. This is the most corrupt and dishonest administration in history. Trump must go. All tweets, no governing, because he does not know how to govern or lead. He's a joke. David in Champaign. And also a text that says, I'm sure Comey's analogy using the mafia was a reference to the Clintons and their foundation and not just President Trump. Those on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Let's go back to the phones here. Henry is with us. Good morning, Henry.
Morning, Brian. How are you doing, sir?
Good.
Good. There's just so much anti-Trump hate on the left. They got to get over that and start looking at the world the way it really is. I don't know if anybody's called about the James Comey book that's going to be released soon.
Yeah, I'm just talking about that, so go ahead.
That's right. I caught a bit of that this morning as you were describing your lineup for today. But anyway, I think he better lawyer up real good, because when that Department of Justice Inspector General report comes out, he's going to be in some deep trouble, I have a feeling. And also, you got Loretta Lynch that's contradicting some of his conversations with her, because I think she's in a CYA mode herself. And he's putting himself out there, and he's claiming one thing. I mean, the guy is such a sanctimonious, self-righteous person anyway. It just causes it's like fingernails on a blackboard for me.
Well, what's interesting to me is that both sides, I mean, the Clintons were mad at him, the Clinton team, because of the whole email and the reopening of it a week before the election.
Yes.
So in some respects,
he should have not done that.
Yeah.
And the reason he did that was because it was gonna leak out, and he wanted to get ahead of it. That's why he did it. He didn't try to do it to deep six her. But yeah, you're absolutely right about that. He should have kept his trap shut the whole time about it because it was still under investigation, and if there was nothing to send to a grand jury, he shouldn't have said anything. But I would like you to play devil's advocate with me here.
Okay.
The left obviously thinks this. Grand Inquisitor, the special counsel Mueller, is so successful and it's a really good thing for this country. Then, you know, maybe we should set up, maybe Congress should set up a special counselor office full time and have that office looking into all kind of corruptions on the part of Congress critters. Now, we know they're not going to do that. But, I mean, let's have a special counsel office for the American people. I mean, if there's crime and corruption out there, let's track it all down and you know, if these people, especially these protesters who want to take away other people's rights, I mean, that's political power right there. Let's have those people investigated, too, see where they're getting their money, how it is that they can afford to be full-time protesters and go travel all over the place and protesting guns and things like that. I mean, that's political influence there. So maybe that would be a good thing. Maybe we should have a full-time special counsel office, and if nobody has anything to hide, I mean, if you're innocent, then you have nothing to worry about. And so just let them, you know, check out your tax returns, and even though you might have underpaid, you know, $100 in your taxes, that is a federal crime. I mean, what's the problem? We're getting, you know, it's rule of law. It's a rule of law. Let's go after everybody. I mean.
Yeah. Well, that sounds pretty authoritarian.
What's wrong with this?
That sounds pretty authoritarian.
Well,
doesn't
yeah,
it?
But the left doesn't think so.
Yeah.
Because, see, Trump's the target. And they see Grand Inquisitor Mueller, who himself has certain things to answer for. He's put innocent people behind bars, him and his team, in the past. I mean, the Bulger case, 4 innocent people went to prison. 2 died in prison before... In fact, the other 2 got a $100 million settlement, and Mueller was a part of that, and I can go on and on with this guy. But why not? I mean, now, Harvey Silverglade wrote a book, 3 Felonies a Day, and I may have mentioned this before on Penny. And what he's saying is the problem is these overzealous prosecutors. They go in looking for a crime. Some cases they don't have a crime. They're looking for a crime, and this is certainly the case with this whole collusion thing. Collusion wasn't a crime, but even if it was, there's no collusion that we know of. But he went in looking for a crime, and sooner or later, they're going to find something. It's called a process crime. It could be perjury, I mean, or obstruction of justice because you're just trying to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They can consider that an obstruction of justice. And he says the average American unwittingly commits 3 felonies a day. And that means that if you had an overzealous prosecutor, you could be in some deep trouble. You could lose your life savings. Your life would be turned upside down, as we saw in the case of Michael Flynn.
All right. Hey, Henry, thank you. I got to move, but I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Yeah, we all... not all of us. Some of us speed a little bit, right, on the interstate or in town. It's like I've been told, you know, like Martin O'Donnell played offensive line at Illinois, obviously, as my partner on the air, on-air partner. He says, you know, there are a lot of times some teams you could call holding every time. You know, they hold every time, and they just don't call it every time. You call it every time, you'd never have a game. But different little apples and oranges there, but that's an interesting statement. All right. Hey, Don, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Corruption's definitely alive and well in our government. I don't remember any of Obama's cabinet being raided like drug dealers. I don't remember Holder, who sold guns to the cartel, it being raided. yeah, there's definitely corruption still going on. But the reason I called was, well, I mean, as far as the corruption, it's the same media narrative, Trump bad. It's all to take out Trump. It always has been, always will be, until he leaves office after his term, his two terms are done. But the reason I called is I wish somebody could explain to me what makes two kids that grow up next door to each other, one black, one white, culturally different in Champaign, Illinois. Analog grew up in Tennessee. How is she culturally different than anyone else that grew up in Tennessee? I think people started calling Analog out as racist, so now she changed her term to culturally different. If we have got, to come together and be one. I grew up in a neighborhood where there was probably three white families in a 15-block area. Not that that matters. It didn't matter to us one iota. None of us were culturally different. We grew up the same. I still see my friends today, and we're the same. We're not culturally different. We're skin color different. Color doesn't matter anymore. That's yesterday. We need to move on, man.
Yeah. Well, I grew up on a farm, okay? So I'm culturally different from somebody who grew up in the inner city. Now, what I'm talking about is I grew up in a different, my day-to-day experiences are different than someone who grew up in a big city. I was working in the field. I was farming. Well, I was raising sheep. I mean, so, but go ahead.
I had tasseled corn when I was 13. Mm-hmm. I had friends that grew up on farms outside of town. I don't know that we were that much different. I mean, I stayed all night on the weekends and helped them do work. I don't know about all that.
Yeah. Hey, Don, I got to move, but thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. If you have an accident, Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair can help. They know having a car accident's a serious matter. They know the collision repair business inside and out. Dave and Bill, Dave Miller and Bill Gallo, they got their name on the business. You can see it along I-74 between Neal and Prospect Streets there in Champaign. If you have a ding, maybe you hit a mailbox or you backed into your mother's car or you dented the garage door with your car and you need your car looked at, those are all things. Hey, my brother took out a crib door with a tractor. I mean, it can happen, right? But Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair, full-service collision repair facility. He was okay, by the way. But you can go to gallomiller.com and check it out, conveniently and centrally located in Champaign-Urbana. The big thing is Dave and Bill, they know this business inside and out. They know how it works. They've dealt with insurance. They've been in the insurance business. So give the keys to them. Gallo Miller, let them take care of everything for you. Gallo Miller, one of our sponsors on Penny for Your Thoughts. We'll come back with more on this. The book, of course, coming out with James Comey. Comment on that if you'd like. Anything else? Back in a moment.
Is there a celebration in your future? Perhaps a wedding, graduation, birthday celebration, or anniversary party? For food as good as it tastes, remember Country Time Tea Room and Catering in Paxton. With a love of cooking and a talent to do it well, Bonnie Cabe offers delicious menu selections to fit any occasion, taste, or size. Appetizers, main dishes, and desserts. You will hear all the rave reviews without all the work. A popular meal choice is their takeout box lunches. The attractive and tasty lunches are ideal for conferences, seminars, meetings, hospitals, birthday celebrations at the office, or any occasion where convenience and style are desired. Enjoy lunch in a beautiful setting by visiting Country Time Tea Room in Paxton for lunch at 595 South Elmton. Open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Saturday, 11 to 1. Reservations are highly encouraged. Country Time Tea Room in Paxton, where dining and catering is made delicious and easy for you.
All across America, teenagers are making a difference, gaining respect, and changing the future. Here in Illinois, the future is now. 16 and 17-year-olds can now register to be organ tissue donors in Illinois. Nearly 5,000 people in our state need a life-saving organ, and about 300 people die every year waiting. Be part of the solution. Join the Illinois Secretary of State's Organ Tissue Donor Registry. Register at lifegoeson.com.
For over 34 years, Bratcher Heating and Air has been making homes comfortable again. Day or night, routine or 24/7 emergency. Call Bratcher Heating and Air at 378-HEAT. Right now, get up to $1,700 in rebates or 0% interest for 72 months on select Lennox systems. Call Bratcher Heating and Air at 378-HEAT and visit BratcherComfort.com for more details.
Bratcher Heating and Air, making home comfortable again.
I'm Maggie McGuire, president of Stocks Office Furniture. Whether you're looking for new office design, seating, tables, storage, or you're upgrading your workspace, Stocks has what you need. We represent Hahn as well as many other manufacturers. Visit our showroom to view our selection of Hahn furniture or online at stocks-inc.com. Our sales and design staff at Stocks want you to love your space. And Hahn has the products. 602 South Country Fair Drive.
The smartest way to do your homework, SK Exteriors. Fencing, roofing, siding, and more. Decks and sunrooms, windows, doors. SK is a sure bet to see your expectations met. Let us do your home today. We'll do it all the smartest way. Great job, that's what you're gonna say. The smartest way to do your homework, SK Exteriors.
Roofing license number 104-015412.
Saturday at 11, it's Central Illinois Business. Hi, this is Alex Ruggieri. Join me with my special guest, Kim Kuyun. We're talking about diabetes research right here on DWS.
Some of the experts, or the excerpts, I guess, and the experts, for that matter. On Penny for Your Thoughts here at 9:51, in his absorbing new book, the New York Times says a higher loyalty, the former FBI director James Comey calls the Trump presidency, quote, a forest fire that is doing serious damage to the country's norms and traditions. Comey writes, the president's unethical, untethered to truth and institutional values. His leadership is transactional, ego-driven, and about personal loyalty. And the central theme that Comey returns to throughout his book are the toxic consequences of lying, the corrosive effects of choosing loyalty to an individual over truth and the rule of law. And dishonesty, he writes, was central to the entire enterprise of organized crime on both sides of the Atlantic, and so too are bullying, peer pressure, and groupthink. This is in the Comey book, out next week. The excerpts are out on it now. The New York Times says that. You've got other people that have a different view. It says, on top of this, add Comey's odd preoccupation twisted into a virtue for his book of linking Donald Trump to Russia. Objective evidence was scant when Comey launched what was now turned into a seemingly never-ending fishing expedition looking for evidence of, quote, collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Beyond prematurely exonerating Clinton from serious charges, some callers have made reference to that, Comey made an embarrassing beeline for Trump, assuming the worst, bending established rules, and offering half-truce to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA court, for a warrant to surveil a Trump campaign aide. And it goes on to say members of Comey's team, including those intimately involved in premature shutdown of the Clinton investigation, fretted over Trump's surprising election win. Their own communications overtly seeking an insurance policy, quote, against a Trump victory, showing contempt for the man who is now president, were discovered only through persistent congressional oversight. So there's the two sides of it. What do you think? Great piece of writing? Piece of nonsense. You've got two sides right there. Also, Bill texts in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. He says, if you're an appointed and not elected government official, you have a boss. Why wouldn't a president demand loyalty? While practically everyone was praising Comey, I didn't trust him. Trump has created a great economy, beat down ISIS, and created jobs. I guess knowing how to govern isn't so important. That is from Bill, 9:53. John's up next. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brian. I appreciate your last caller, and it's good when you at a point we should be looking at hearts and not color. But I have to dispute something that he said, because I am one of the last of the civil rights kids, and my mom and dad always told me to respect the people that respect you. You're going to be called names, you can rise above that, which a lot of minorities have. But there's still a culture shock out here that, you know, you don't see the heart, you see color. And you can't deny that. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday at the VA, and he said, why is it every time Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson shows up, there's trouble? And I told him, okay, you can say that, but be careful how you choose your words, because it's what you call the Willie Lynch theory. It's like keeping our end in line. You know, that's why I say at this time in life, we don't need leaders in our community. We need spokespeople. That means every man, woman, boy, and girl of any color. That's what the basis of the NAACP was started on, advancement of colored people. It wasn't for black people. It was for all people. and it was started by a white woman. But we got to be careful when we start doing that, because right now I'm enjoying this political arena because you don't hear the color ratio. It's going back and forth, back and forth. I guess it would be wonderful if we give everybody, you know, weapons, give them free marijuana, whatever it takes to keep everybody quiet. But we can't do that. We are a nation of laws.
Yeah.
And we have to work this out.
Yeah. Do you think, John, and it's interesting because if you and I grew up next to each other, would we be have the same, if we grew up in the same neighborhood, would we have the same experiences in the neighborhood, or would it be different automatically because we're one's white, one's black, or does that matter? I mean, or you know, go ahead.
It would be same in the neighborhood because we're next door to each other. We can fight and disagree, but I need you to play with me. You need me to play with you. Mm-hmm. And give an example. I just dropped my grandkid off earlier. He went into the daycare. They didn't see a biracial kid, or a black kid, or a white kid. They saw Cody.
Yeah.
But when that child goes to a different environment, it's a whole different thing. And can you imagine a good thing that I saw in the military? Out here, you see a lot of young black males dating or marrying young white girls. I remember in the 70s and 80s, it was a whole different story when I went to Germany. There was white males marrying black females. And can you imagine the pressure that the male or female of the darker race would feel when they go back to the white race family? So it's when you get out of your environment. But some cases, your environment may say, hold it, stop. You can't do this to this person.
Mm-hmm.
I know this person.
Yeah, and I think, and part of it is, I think, too, just, you know, it's where you grow up or where, you know, if you experience, you live in a certain area and you experience this, but I don't fully understand your experiences and you may not fully understand mine, and maybe that's where some of the, you know, you got to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes to understand what they've been through.
That's true, and that's the way of the world. I mean, I took a bullet for white guys when I was out, you know, in the military. It's just that I didn't think that, well, he's white or black.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was an American, and that's who I wanted to save. So we have to think about, you know, things, because we've got a generation coming up right now that a lot of the white families are raising, and some black families, the biracial kids. Mm-hmm. Where do they stand in society?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel good when I see white grandparents with biracial kids, where 20 years ago, it was the old word, nope, I'm not going to have one in my family. You touch one of them kids, those grandparents will kill you, and I don't blame them.
Yep.
That's my grandchild.
Well,
neighborhood.
And when you think about it, we just had a president who had that background, right?
Right.
Right.
He called hell beyond compare. But the thing about it, can you imagine if everybody worked with him, what would we accomplish? But there was that little stigma in there that says, he's black. So it goes, it's when you're out of your environment.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, John, thanks for the call.
You guys have a good day. Good conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate it. 6-9-3-9-7 is the phone number here on Penny for Your Thoughts. We have the news coming up at the top of the hour. You want to take a quick break, Ed, or do you want to just keep it here? Okay, we'll do that. We'll just keep it right here. We've got some other news coming up. We appreciate Chris Kleppel coming in, Unit 4 School Board President. Had some good dialogue with him about what's ahead with the charter school proposal. They got an extension of their deadline to get some of the answers to the questions. You had the public hearing. Unit 4 says, hey, we'll give you some more time and let that be done. And as he indicated, it's not the end-all will not be May 2nd. There will be some things beyond that, too. So interesting discussion there. Hope you enjoyed that. Again, anytime during the show, as we're visiting or as we're visiting with guests here in studio or on the phone or visiting with you, you can send in your texts, your emails. We'll get to them all as we can during the course of the hour and work them in. I like to do that as quickly as I can when I see them. So get those in. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. And email us, talk@wdws.com. We've got the news coming up at 10. Rush record for a few minutes from CASA. And we'll talk some more about all that's happening in Washington. The Comey book, a big one. I bet they talk about it next on WDWS Champaign-Urbana with CBS.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And we're back, hour number two, 10:13 here on DWS, and 64 sunny degrees here in downtown Champaign. At least the sun is poking through, and everybody's mood brightened yesterday with all those warmer temperatures. So we'll move on here with warmer weather at least for a day or two, and I guess we got a chance of rain increasing to 80% tonight. So enjoy the sunshine while we have it. Get out and enjoy it, and keep us with you as you make your way around today and get outside here on WDWS. 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us talk at WDWS.com. We'll get a text in. It says, if you think race is a national security threat, you are crazy. That was a text from one of our listeners here on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, left over from last hour. Feel free to send in texts, emails. You can call us anytime. We'll have a quick visit here with Rush Record from CASA and then get back to the Comey book if you want to talk about that, or there's something else you want to bring up, feel free to do that. But Rush Record is with us. Want to remind you that Mike Namoff, you know Big Mike for 30 years. He's been a major presence here in East Central Illinois. Of course, This Is It Furniture recently joined forces with a new store called Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop. They now have two stores under one very large roof. With this new chapter, Mike will offer you many options. He'll continue to take care of your furniture and mattress needs. This Is It Furniture, but now with Snooze, and you won't find a store like this anywhere else in town or in central Illinois or in the Midwest, for that matter. Luxury items, the lifestyle adjustable bed frames, carbon cool pillows. Have a free and easy analysis done by their Reveal machine and find out where your pressure points are to know how firm or not your mattress should be. This Is It Furniture and Snooze at Country Fair Shopping Center, Springfield and Mattis in Champaign. And, of course, Mike's been owns and operates mega events, raises money for charities such as Special Olympics, March of Dimes, Boys and Girls Club, Crisis Nursery, and you've seen him on TV for years. So, Mike Namoff, you've got This Is It Furniture and Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop together. Rush Record is with us here for a couple of minutes. You were here to talk about CASA real quick. What's up with CASA? You're looking for volunteers?
We're looking for volunteers. We're having one of our, about three or four times a year, we advertise and train new advocates, new volunteers. April's Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month, so we've got our pinwheels up, so this is a good time to get some word out about the kids in the abuse and neglect system. So we're looking for folks that are willing to work on these kids' cases and make sure that they're being taken care of.
People always hear the term CASA, see the letters, right? What does it mean and what do you do?
Yeah, it stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates. We provide volunteer advocates that we train to work side by side with the social service agencies that are involved in these kids' lives. And in addition to that, we also have a legal representation for each child, so we have attorneys that work with us that are in the courtroom and just making sure that all the kids are met needs are met when they're in the court system, having been abused, neglected by a caregiver.
Yeah, and these kids are in tough spots, aren't they?
They are. They've been abused to the point where the court needs to get involved, and which means it's generally very severe cases of abuse and neglect. Mm-hmm. We've got kids range from newborns up to 21-year-old kids. We're approaching about 375 kids in the system right now, so I think everybody will agree that's too many, but we need to take care of them while they're there.
Yeah, so if someone's interested in doing this, what do they need to do?
Well, they can. One of the easiest things to do is to go on our website, which is CASA, the number 4kids.org. It's actually a brand new site, so they can jump on that. There's an online application there they can fill out. They can learn a lot of information about us on that website. They can call us at the office at 384-9065. The important thing is there might be a lot of people out there that think there's no way that they could do this type of work. Mm-hmm. But we'd love to at least talk them through it. I think we have a lot of volunteers that probably thought they couldn't do it either. But once they get into it, they realize it's something that's really needed. And we give them the tools that they need in training, and then we support them with our staff after that all through the process. So they're never alone when they're out working on these cases.
Yeah. And, boy, it's some of the stories you hear with the kids. And, yeah. I mean, it's tough.
It can be tough. And we've really modified our training to be very honest while we're in that training process. Mm-hmm. So that if anybody has any doubts or any questions, we hopefully can answer those questions. Training's pretty extensive. It's about 3.5 weeks, 30 hours of training. But It's very interactive. We think it's very good. And then once you're out and complete the training again, you've got a lot of support there. You have a lot of help. We are always there to answer questions. And the community's always been very supportive of the program.
Yeah. Well, so if you have a heart for this and you say, well, I don't know what's involved, I'm sure you'd be happy to facilitate meeting with you, meeting with
absolutely
fellow people that do this to kind of just walk them through it.
They can talk to me. They can talk to Brooke Adams, our program administrator. We have advocates that come in throughout the training. The advocates are always there to talk, to bounce ideas off of. So, again, if anybody's even questioning it, we definitely want to talk to them. We don't want to lose anybody out there that may want to do this. I mean, as I said, there's, 370 kids, and we'd like to have a volunteer for as many as we possibly can. We've got about 100 volunteers right now out working virtually every day on these kids' behalf, so we always need many more.
I know the judges and the people involved in the courts appreciate what's done here.
Yeah, unfortunately, the child welfare system in Illinois is still overworked, underfunded, and so many times we're bringing the court information that they may not have, or really just extra set of eyes and ears. Mm-hmm. The advantage that we have is that we're not tied to any of those organizations. We're an independent nonprofit, so we can give the judge our opinions, not tied to any funding issues or staffing issues, and I think they really appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, Rush, good to see you. Anything else we need to add?
Good to see you. Yeah. I appreciate that. Again, April's Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. You'll see our pinwheels out. We'll have some billboards in the Children's Advocacy Center, just bringing awareness to, the problem of child abuse and neglect in our community. We actually, in the front of the courthouse, we have a pinwheel out for each child that's in the system, so it gives a pretty good visual of how many kids we're talking about.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Tell Stephanie hello.
We'll do.
Over
we'll
there
do.
At the U of I.
Appreciate it.
All right, but come back with more after this. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts. This might make you feel old, but Tony Dow, Leave It to Beaver's Wally Cleaver, he's 73 today. How about that? Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons, later in NYPD Blue, he's 48 today. This is the day in 1852 that the founder of the Woolworth Five and Dime store chain, Frank Woolworth, born on this day in 1852. He died in 1919. Thomas Jefferson, born on this day, third president of the U.S., author of the Declaration of Independence. Of course, he died July 4th, 1866, but born in 1743. And this is the anniversary over, 21 years ago? Tiger Woods, at age 21, the youngest player ever to win the Masters. That was back in 1997. Those are some of the things that have happened today. 356-9397 is how you can join us. Let's see what else is going on. We've been talking about the James Comey book. If you have some comments on that, some excerpts from that, we'll certainly take those comments. We visited with Chris Kleppel from the Unit 4 School Board earlier, the charter school issue. Let's see here. Unlike the first, next week's critical conversation on the University of Illinois campus will be open to all residents and media who want to attend. A similar event on Chief Illiniwek this last Tuesday was mostly closed to the media. U of I spokesperson Robin Kaler says that was so the people involved could have a meaningful conversation. She says the event did not fall under the Open Meetings Act. Meanwhile, this Tuesday's event focuses on free speech. It'll feature talks from First Amendment scholars. That's at the Krannert Center at noon. That news from the U of I. And after some initial confusion, I guess, Comcast says the Big Ten Network is going nowhere for Illinois residents. Comcast is dropping BTN in some markets outside the conference footprint, but it's staying in Big Ten territory. That Chicago-based network, BTN, that everybody laughed at when Jim Delaney came up with it, is now 11 years old, and it is making money hand over fist, let me tell you. And this news from Springfield, the Illinois Senate is urging Governor Bruce Rauner to reject a presidential call to send National Guard troops to help secure the U.S.-Mexican border. Democratic-controlled Senate voting 33-22 yesterday to adopt a resolution urging the GOP governor not to comply if the president makes a request. Mattoon GOP Senator Dale Ryder says national security issues should be left to Washington. Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas have pledged state troops from those states. Democratic California Governor Jerry Brown acquiesced on Wednesday. So those are some of the local and news headlines. Your comments on any of those. We'll take phone calls, emails, texts as we go along. And good morning to Tony. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good on this Friday. I'm just happy the sun's out.
Well, good. I missed your first hour, so I'm sure it's probably been brought up, but in case it hasn't, what are your thoughts on Comey's statements about Trump watching hookers being peed on? And I guess my question is, why would he make something like that up if it wasn't true? What are your thoughts on
that? What are Comey making up stuff about the...
No, why would he make up stuff? So that Trump was with hookers and was watching them peeing on each other. It's called a golden shower.
Yeah, I know, the golden shower story. But, I mean, it wasn't that part of a brief that was designed to show what could happen with a national security breach. Isn't that the whole basis of this whole... that stirred everything up at the beginning? So you think it's true?
Well, why would he put it in his book if it wasn't true?
Well, is he saying it's true, or is he just referring to the fact that it happened? That the I don't want to get into the whole thing, but the whole talking about that becoming even an issue. Are you saying that he's saying it's true, or he's referencing it?
It says it's possible President Trump was with hookers in Moscow peeing on each other, and I guess I would say it was probably true, because if you watch the Netflix series on Trump, mm-hmm. There was one point in his life, in his younger years, it's a really good series, I don't know if you've watched it, but it kind of goes back to his time when he got started with his dad, and mm-hmm. how he was building Trump Tower. It's about a five-part series on Netflix, but at one point, they had the first Mike Tyson fight at the Caesars in New Jersey, and that's when Trump had Marla Maples as his mistress, and it has a really interesting photo of Ivana Trump, his first wife, on one side, and two rows back, he had his mistress two rows back from him. So I guess he has a long history of doing things like that, so I would probably believe Comey over Trump. And I guess that's my question, who do you feel is more credible, Comey or Trump?
Well, I would say, I mean, Trump is not a perfect human being. Let's put that out there. I mean, he's...
But that's not... That wasn't my question. My question is, who would you believe first, Comey or Trump?
Well, I don't know who to believe. I don't know who to believe anymore. I mean, I think James Comey, you know, has done some good things, but he's also made mistakes. I don't know who's more credible. I mean, I don't know if that's for me to decide.
All right. Well, I just thought it was interesting.
But, yeah.
Thank you.
But you obviously think Comey's more credible, I would take.
I would say the five-year-old kid in kindergarten class is more credible than Donald Trump. So, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's proven over and over he's not very credible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, all you have to do is watch his tweets. I mean, he's the one that said he hires the best people, and those best people he hired are the ones that are trying to take him down, which is Mueller, and then Mueller's boss. I mean, he appointed those people. And they're the ones that are investigating him. It's not someone he didn't hire. He hired those people. And then he said he would never talk about a strike, and then he tweeted that. So.
Well, I heard Jim Bohannon on earlier this morning with Dave and Elizabeth, and I kind of agree with him. He's all over the map on stuff. And he needs to shut down the tweet machine between about 2 and 4 in the morning. So, and I would agree with that. All right. Hey, thank you, Tony. 356-9397. We're at 1029. We go from Tony with an O to Tiny with an I. Hey, Tiny, how are you?
Hey, well, we're also completely opposite. I mean, we couldn't be any more opposite if it was, well, I can't describe it. The reason I'm glad that that bomb Comey wrote the book, because he proved why Trump fired him. He's a bum. He's a whiner. He's a wimp. He's everything that you could describe that is not a man. And I don't think I've missed the mark on him in anything I've said about him.
So
if you're working for the government, if you're working for the president, and he fires you, tuck your tail between your legs and go on home. Don't whine like Hillary and the rest of them.
I'm trying to remember, Tiny, how many books have come out from people in the government about a president while he's still in office? I mean, usually they wait till after they're out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there'll be a lot of people buy this book, and I'm glad they do. They'll find out why Trump fired him. He's a bum. He's a whiner. He's a, you know, it's terrible for these guys standing up defending. I can't even believe it. I wouldn't let this, if this guy was starving in the street, I wouldn't let him in for breakfast.
Yeah.
And I'll let anybody in this house, but if I saw him and he was standing out there choking to death, I'd say, get out.
Yeah.
He's a bum.
All right. Well,
I don't have any more good words for him, so thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
There you go. There's the word of the day, right? Bum. 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Let's see here from, I don't know who this from. If the real Donald Trump were really like a mob boss, the smart thing for Jim Comey would be to go into the witness protection program and disappear from public life, which, come to think of it, would be nice for the rest of us as well. That email in. And from Rick at Texas, John and Brian conversation, very eye-opening. I don't know. I guess that's good, right? We were talking about growing up in different environments and what that would be like and understanding each other, I guess. Let's go to Kay. Hi, Kay. We'll get the news in here in a moment. Hi, Kay.
Beautiful spring day. Good morning.
Hey, it is, isn't it? I love the sun.
I just want to reminisce 67 years ago at 6 o'clock in the morning in the little town of Dewey. Fire broke out in the bank, the Dewey State Bank.
Oh, yeah?
And in the grain elevator and the Jones grocery store, and destroyed it and gutted it.
Is that right?
Next day, yes. The next day, and that was Friday the 13th on Easter weekend that year. And it turned out to be an electrical fire down in the basement, but the milkman was making his rounds early in the morning, discovered it and alerted it so that we were able to contain it. Thanks to any of the volunteers who did that, the volunteer firemen and all the wives who provided food.
Wow. And what year was that, Kay?
1951.
51. Wow. All right. Well, that's great. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good. We got some stuff on Friday the 13th I'll get to as well. If you want to continue the conversation, obviously, and I knew James Comey, there's a lightning rod. Woo, stick it up. People are going to defend him. People that don't like the president are going to say it's the greatest book ever. People that don't like Comey and defend the president, I've read you two different articles, two different opinions, and that's kind of what we're hearing this morning, both sides of the spectrum. All right, Michael Kaiser has news headlines. More after this.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
We are back. Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. Make sure you continue to vote for the News Talk 1400 DWS News Gazette Media, the People's Choice, the best of East Central Illinois. Go to WDWS.com and cast your vote. The People's Choice, brought to you in part by Wallace Land and Auction. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts today. And on the line here, we have Congressman Rodney Davis. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Sorry I missed you earlier today. We had some votes, and I'm glad we got a chance to chat.
Yeah, what are you voting on today?
This was a financial services issue called the Volcker Rule. It, part of Dodd-Frank that was implemented before I got to Washington, D.C., that's had an adverse effect on many of our local community banks. We pulled back one of the rules and offered some regulatory reform, and I know the regulatory reform and financial services rules are always exciting to the listeners today.
I know. I understand. Well, the reason I thought I'd get your comments, since you're in the House there with Paul Ryan, A, I guess did that surprise you, his announcement about not running again, and B, what does it mean, I guess?
Well, you know, I will be honest with you. I was surprised that it happened, number one. But once I heard it was happening, I was a little less surprised because there's really no one – more genuine than Paul. I know you might be surprised, your listeners may be surprised. There are a lot of people out here that may say they want to make a change from Washington based upon wanting to spend time with their family. But I can tell you a lot of them, that's just not true. That's not a true excuse. But when it comes to Paul Ryan, I believe him. Mm-hmm. And I believe he spent time taking his daughter on her first college visit. He's been in Congress since 1998. He and I are the same age. He started when he was 28. He's been here 20 years. He accomplished what he came here to accomplish, which was the first major tax reform since he and I were 16 and in high school. And he got it done. He wants to spend more time with his family because he's always been a weekend dad. Hmm. And I know from my own back and forth every weekend, it's tough. It's tough when you have kids at home, and I don't blame him.
Yeah. So you know him fairly well then.
I do. I do. I was working as a congressional staffer, brand new, working for John Chimkus, who represents the other half of Champaign County with me. And Paul was, you know, he was my age, so you always kind of watch a new guy who's young and watched him build his portfolio and policy chops. I mean, this was a guy who was dead serious about governing, and I was just excited to meet him when I got a chance to come to Congress.
Mm-hmm. Rodney Davis with us here for a couple of minutes, congressman, of course, from this area. As far as the next leader, is it going to be McCarthy most likely?
Well, I think Kevin's obviously in the catbird seat, but one thing that I hope, because Paul's not leaving, one thing I hope happens is that we just have our leadership team, everybody rowing the same way, in the same boat, to make sure that we can actually have a speaker's election on the Republican side. If the palace intrigue takes over the conference and our ability to legislate and help put good policies forward, they may not have to worry about running for speaker because they might not get the chance to. So that's what I hope happens, and that's what I've been encouraging our leadership to do. And Kevin's obviously in a good spot, but let's have that election after we win enough seats to keep the majority.
Obviously, the presidential election is different with the Electoral College. There were several key states that President Trump won that obviously tipped the election in that regard. This is different in 2018. Obviously, everybody's up. It's every 2 years, as you well know. Your sense among the Republican caucus there, I guess, of the mood in the country, obviously in some of the areas that the president won, he's maybe not polling as well. You know, could the House flip? Your sense of what you're hearing from out there, I guess.
You know, elections are always interesting. You look back when President Obama was elected in 2008, sworn in 2009, the Republican opposition had a lot of energy and a lot of fervor, and you know, they parlayed that into taking the majority back in the House. And when you look at the successes they had, it's not a coincidence that the Democrats and those that they're on the left, they're trying to use the same tactics of being energized, and I don't blame them. It's great to see people engaged in the political process. I just hope that we see a campaign at all levels in every congressional district that's not going to be hateful and vitriolic. Let's debate the issues that are at hand, and let's talk about the issues that we say we're addressing out here in Washington now and how they affect the constituents that we have back home. And I always believe that if you're out working to put the priorities in place that your constituents have given you and that you've told them are your priorities and our priorities, that the voters are going to take a look at that and usually send that member back and vote again. And that means, I think, when we look ahead, I think the Republicans will keep the majority, and I believe we're going to have very good stories to tell throughout the entire next few months until November.
I'm guessing, and you've been busy this morning, but I'm guessing with the James Comey book out, that'll be the talk of Washington this weekend, I guess, huh?
You know, there's always something that's happening that's new. It's Comey, it's Russia, it's something. And that's the sad part because, you know, what that does is it distracts from some of the good things that we do out here. You look at the bill we passed today, it was an overwhelming bipartisan bill to really help our community banks and the customers they serve. Now, well, there are a lot of things that we do in a bipartisan way. Frankly, the majority of what we do is bipartisan, and it gets overshadowed by these distractions that catch the attention of the 24-hour news cycle and social media.
I was going to say, that's a part of it, is just the cycle, the media. I mean, it just it kind of feeds on itself.
It really does, and that's what I think's led to the polarization that we see in this country, you know, not everybody looks at politics as their religion, like those on the polar ends of both political parties. You know, there are a lot of good people that just want to see good things happen at all levels of government that aren't engaged in screaming and yelling at each other. And those are the ones that I think get forgotten in many communities, but they also have that vote. And they're going to vote for the people at all levels of government that they think are effective. And that's exactly what we see, and that's exactly what makes our process and our system the greatest country in the world.
Hey, Congressman, thanks for giving us a few minutes. We'll let you get back to work out there, but appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to be back on.
All right. Thank you. That's Congressman Rodney Davis, live from D.C. We're back with more after this on Penny. Penny for your thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. We've had lots of conversation today, which is perfect. Got a text from Gordon. He says, the last caller, Tony, was an example of an uninformed voter. He must have had his head in the sand for the last year and a half to not know anything about the phony Golden Showers dossier. That is a text from Gordon. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Email us talk at WDWS.com. The James Comey book, you will see a lot about that all weekend long, so get ready. If you don't want to hear it or see it, probably ought to go watch the Cubs or the Cardinals or the White Sox or something, because that's what you're going to get, 24-hour cable news. Give yourself a breather from that, by the way, I would say, if you get a chance. Get out and enjoy the weather. All right, let's do tell you about Swanson Roofing. Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog. It's a hands-on owner. He is. He works on almost every job with our crew. Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, truly a family-owned business, 100% owned and operated by Corey Swanson and his wife, Melissa. Corey's a graduate from Rantoul High School and the University of Illinois. They do not subcontract out any work. Roofing dog crew comprised of roofing professionals certified in roof installation. They receive full benefits, 401ks. They're incentivized to do a good job for you and for Corey, and they guarantee their workmanship for the lifetime of your roof, and the materials they use are guaranteed for 50 years. Swanson Roofing takes responsibility and ownership of every past customer. That is the cornerstone of their business. So Swanson Roofing, roofing dog, providing services in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. Even if they didn't do your roof, they're happy to come out, take a look at it, get a free estimate, and fix any problems you might be having. So Corey Swanson, the roofing dog. Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog. They're proud to have been selected as Small Business of the Year previously by the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. We hope you'll give them a call. Yeah, I need to mention here, and I've been reminded of this a couple of times, Illinois Golf, men's golf, has a home match coming up at Stone Creek on Saturday, tomorrow, against Bradley. And this is the first home match they've had since 2008. So think about that. Men's golf at Stone Creek, 18-hole medal match play, 10 a.m. against Bradley. Now, here are some of the particulars. Parking and entry is fee. You can rent a cart, first come, first serve, for $15. Now, if you're going to get a cart, here are a couple of things to remember. You have to stay on the cart paths and stay at least 50 feet away from the competitors. Okay, so you can't pull up next to them and watch them that close. You have to be 50 feet away, but stay on the cart paths, parking and entry fee. Rent the cart for $15, first come, first serve, 18-hole medal match play, 10 a.m. against Bradley over at Stone Creek. Baseball, as you heard, a series with Rutgers starting at 6 tonight. Women's tennis, home tonight and on Sunday against Minnesota and Wisconsin, and the men's and women's track and field teams' twilight event tomorrow at 3. Back with more, 10:52. Talk a little more about Friday the 13th. I found some fun things we'll throw in here near the end of the program. If you have something you want to add, text, email, phone call. Feel free to do it. 10:52, 66 beautiful degrees in downtown Champaign. Penny for your thoughts continues. News Talk 1400 DWS on this Friday, the 13th. That last commercial reminded me, I've been fortunate enough in all the jobs I've had, Major League Baseball at one point, announcing that, to go to Boston Fenway Park. And I just always remember the PA announcer, and I love listening to him do the announcements and in New York and in Boston. And he always used to announce, now batting for the Red Sox, Nomar Garcia-Para. I loved it. So that commercial reminded me of that. great to be in different parts of the country, just kind of hear and listen and be around people from everywhere. It's just a lot of fun. All right, one of the easiest ways to save for Financial Literacy Month here, and they encourage you to begin your path to savings today. Who am I talking about? Busey Wealth Management. Automate your savings, they say. Start small, but just start. Experts suggest saving 15% of your income for retirement. Make the most of your 401k contribution matching at your workplace. Gradually increase your contribution each year, growing your savings along with your career. Of course, know your retirement saving options, the IRAs, traditional, tax-deferred until you withdraw the funds, Roth, taxed when you contribute the money but can be withdrawn tax-free. Talk to your banker about which one suits you better. The sooner you begin saving, the better. Even modest savings can add up over time. Busey Wealth Management has a team of professionals who can help you achieve your dreams for retirement. Visit Busey.com. Thought I'd close a little fun today. We've been serious. We've talked about a lot of heavy issues along the way with the Comey book out and Unit 4 and all that's happening with the charter school discussion. Friday the 13th, a couple of notes on this. It happens every year. This Friday today is the first of two Fridays in 2018 that fall on the 13th. The next one is in July. It's possible for a standard year, not a leap year, to have as many as three as it will next in 2026. It's not unlucky for everyone, Friday the 13th. The original 1980 movie, Friday the 13th, did you watch those? I couldn't. I mean, I saw a little bit of them. I couldn't watch. But anyway, Friday the 13th. Cost $550,000 to make and $1.5 million to market, but ended up earning almost $40 million. And how many of those movies were there? There were a lot. Other days are unlucky, not just Friday the 13th. Superstitious people in Greece and in some Spanish-speaking countries think Tuesday the 13th is bad luck. Italians consider Friday the 17th unlucky. Supposedly because the anagram for XVII, the Roman numeral for 17, is VIXI, or I lived, in Latin, which suggests imminent death. Okay? Celebrities born on Friday the 13th. A number of celebrities born on Friday the 13th. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen from Full House. Remember them? Julia Louis-Dreyfus. For a month to have Friday the 13th, it must begin with a Sunday. They say, if you don't believe us, check the calendar for yourself. And Friday the 13th in space, according to NASA, Friday the 13th, 2029, a large asteroid called Asteroid 2004 MN4 will fly close enough to Earth to be visible without a telescope, but it will not hit. Okay, that's a relief. And it's also... Mark Twain once said he was the 13th guest at a dinner party. A friend warned him not to go. It was bad luck. Twain later told the friend they only had food for 12. So there you go. There's some of the little tidbits about Friday the 13th. Well, we're pretty lucky today because the weather's fantastic. 68 degrees. I've really enjoyed today visiting with each and every one of you, or however you've communicated with us today. Back on Monday with more Penny for Your Thoughts. Have a great weekend. Get out and enjoy the weather here, at least today, if you can. On WDWS Champaign-Urbana, have a great weekend, everybody.